Good evening.
All right. Excuse me, my nose is running, my allergies acting up. Feels good to be back. I had a horrible flight. Couldn't understand why I was so sick. Till I talked with a gentleman concerning eating before you get on the flight. And I don't think I had anything to eat. And boy, I thought I was coming down with the flu. And I'm thinking, man, I'm glad I took my flu shot. And I found out that, okay, the gentleman was telling me that, you know, it happened to me because I hadn't eaten anything. I said, oh, okay, well, it's good to know that. But, you know, it's always a blessing when one steps forward and acknowledges his or her position concerning Christ. Because that choice is going to determine with the faith where you're going to end up when we turn back to dust. Ain't no getting around it. So tonight, the lesson that I will be presenting, by the way, my brother texted me, I think it was 12 o'clock, I don't know, I was half asleep, I couldn't see the text, but it read something about, are you ready for tomorrow? I said, oh, well, he must want me to preach tomorrow. So I woke up the next morning, I looked at it and I thought, yeah, okay, let's do it. So, that's why we stay ready so we don't have to get ready. Yes, sir. So my lesson tonight is dealing with the many channels of the truth. The many channels of God's truth. Okay. You know, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. I'm only going to be about 25 minutes, so I'm looking to finish up here at about 6:49, something like that. I knew I'd get somebody. Yes. It was a question asked to the Lord in Luke chapter 13. In Luke 13, verse 23. Luke 13, 23. Right with that? Yeah. I'm in chapter 12. Let me get over to chapter 13. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter in, and they will not be able to. Blessed be your soul. If you were not a member before, now you have been added to the body of Christ, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Okay? So, now let's get into our lesson. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Ecclesiastes 1, in verse 7, all streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the places where the streams flow, there they flow again. God's truth has many different channels. The reason why God established mountains is for these streams to create valleys, rivers that runs into the ocean, many channels of God's truth. So, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 10, 16 through 20 says, I keep turning to the wrong chapter here. Chapter 10, verses 16 through 20. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my name's sake, for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Let us understand something here. Because it is not you who speaks. It is the Spirit of the Father, Jesus is telling his disciples. It is the Spirit of the Father who speaks through you. We must understand at this point in time, they didn't have the book. They didn't have the book. So they had to speak only the things that the Holy Spirit gave to them at the time. You see, when we look at this, Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 20, we must understand verse 1. Verse 1 says, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. You see, this is what the authority of the king. So the apostles have not only the authority of the heavenly king, as in verse 1, but also the spirit of their father. The king's authority deals with what? The king's authority, as we read, deals with unclean spirits and diseases. The father's spirit deals with the oppressor's persecution. We must understand that. So, in saying that, he says in Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. Let's look at Mark. It's a parallel scripture with what we just read. Mark 13, 11. And when they bring you, let's start at verse 9. Be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, But say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. See, the thought here and the idea here in other manuscripts, it reads, in pretense. Do not go and try to put together what you are going to say before the governors, because your word is going to be insignificant. You just listen to what I tell you. You listen to what I tell you. So, in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 39. So we're talking about the many channels of God's truth. How God delivers his message. We must understand that the Father is the source, the Son is the conduit, and the Spirit is that which is manifested in our lives. So you have the three, okay, working in our lives. Verse 37 through 39 in St. John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Understand something here. The last day. Even though when we look at this, these scriptures, it speaks about the feast and the things that God had done before the children of Israel to remind them of what God had did for them and delivering them from the slavery of the Egyptians. So, but I want to look at the last day. There is a last day that signifies the end of all enjoyment of any success in the human life will end. There is a last day to every kind of material thing in this physical life. So if you are conscious of the fact that there is a last day, what are you doing in your life to ensure your position in the next life? You see, bodily exercise profited little. There is a little profit in that. We are to keep our bodies up and take good care of our bodies. Profit little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that is now and the life that is to come. We must understand that. We must understand that there is a last day. Okay? Verse 38 speaks concerning the flow. And this is what we're talking about. The many channels of God's truth. See, this is the principle that is set forth in chapter 2. So when we look at verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Okay. So if you are not in the body of Christ, Joey's thirsty. He's drinking water. It's a beautiful thing. Right? So, it is the way that God flows in us. You see, in the Old Testament, you know, the Spirit of God would come to the prophets, and they would speak. You see, so you have those that under the Old Testament was looking forward to Jesus. They never seen him, and then you have those at the point in time when Jesus came who walked side by side with Jesus, right? And now you have us who have Christ in us. So now the question is asked the Lord concerning who is the greatest. Well, he told them, there has none arisen greater than John the Baptist. Well, we understand that John the Baptist didn't do no kind of miracles. He said, there is none greater than John the Baptist, but he who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? John walked side by side with the Lord. You know why? Because John wasn't a member of the body of Christ. Right? John didn't have Christ living in him as we have, but he was full of the Spirit. It's a difference. John wasn't a part of the church, but we are. So the one that is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So the one who, see, we all don't have the same amount of Christ in us. That's why he says the one with the least amount in the kingdom is greater than John. Some of us possess more of Christ than others, if we can understand that. When we look at Melchizedek dealing with Abraham, right? The lesser is blessed by the greater. Yes, we understand that. So, in this principle set forth, when we look at chapter 2, see, the whole thought is dealing with the book of John is about turning death into life. So when they said, oh, we ran out of wine, and his mom comes to him and says, son, we have no more wine. So what does that have to do with me? My time has not yet come. What are you saying? Glory is something that is seen, that is manifested. So he manifested his glory. It's another way how God channeled his truth. He manifested his glory. You have the 6 barrels that they would use for their washings, that they would fill with water. Water can be looked at as a representation of death or life. When we look at the times of Noah, it was the death waters. When we look at what Christ is saying in 7:37 through 39, it's life. Rivers of water is life. So he turns the water into wine. Right? He manifested his glory. It was seen. We know that it takes time to make wine. It takes time. So he defied all of that. All of that. You just dip your cup in there and go and serve it to him. He turns the death waters into life. And that's what he has done to us. He has brought life into our mortal being when death once resided. Now it's life. The source of death is what? What is the source of death? The source of death is the tree of knowledge. And
the source of life is the tree of life. So that's why this book shows that life is in opposition of death when we're dealing with the book of John. So, when we look at St. John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, look at 24 and 25. St. John 24 and 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Do we understand that? Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, is now, is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. How is this possible? How is this possible that Jesus can say these things? Is Jesus God? Well, when we look at the next verse, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So the whole purpose of this book of John is to turn life into death. Can you imagine being in the presence of the Almighty? Think about the angelic host. They have witnessed the power of the Almighty. They have witnessed it. When they saw the Lord walking in the garden and asking a question, where art thou, Adam? What do you think the host of heaven was doing? They were watching and anticipating the Lord's next move. So you say, well, why didn't the Lord just destroy Satan? Well, because he wants to show the entire creation that his word and his truth reign supreme. And so it is today. Jesus Christ is reigning supreme upon the throne. He has did what he said he was going to do way back in Genesis. Dominion. Man shall have dominion, and Jesus Christ is reigning. Look at chapter 8 and verse 24. Verse 8 and 24. Let's start at verse 22. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We must understand that people who are in their sins, who are in the world, who are in the body of Christ, who do not confess their sins or repent of their sins and strive to do otherwise, will die in their sins, and you can't go and be where Jesus is today. I believe, according to the scriptures, that once you die, you're going to be with the Lord. After his resurrection, when he freed those souls that was locked away. Remember, and they went and roamed in the cities and people saw them. The spirits, the souls of the individuals that were recently passed on came from their graves and went to be with the Lord. But there are those who don't believe that and think that, okay, there is a waiting place. I don't believe that. I believe that once you pass, you go and be with the Lord.
And that's another lesson. Look at chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Chapter 11 of John, verse 25 and 26. Let's look at verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." There is a last day of your life and a last day of this present creation that we know today. She said, "Yeah, I know. On the last day, he will rise again." Right? Verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" You know, because you're going to die. You're going to die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, Brother Canada? Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. In St. John chapter 7, back to our text, verse 38. Rivers of living waters. See, the rivers of living water are the many flows of the different aspects of life. It's the different aspects of life that we deal with here. Okay? What are you saying? Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Romans 15 and 30. We're going to see the different aspects of this life dealing with the Spirit. "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love," by what? "The love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." The love of the Spirit is one aspect of the many flows of life. It's the love of the Spirit. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Thess 1 and 6. 1 Thess 1 and 6 says, you know, in the congregation that I was born in, back in 1995, we would have individuals sitting down at a table with their Bibles. That way I don't have to flip through my book. And I would say, "Hey, give me 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. And you give me Colossians 1 and 13. And that would free my hands up, but we don't have that today, so I gotta use my hands. So we find out the love of the Spirit, and now, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with" what? "With the joy of the Holy Spirit." With the joy of the Holy Spirit. Okay, another aspect of the flow of the rivers of life. Look at 2 Thess 2 and 13. 2 Thess 2 and 13 says, "But we are always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through" what?
sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Another aspect of the rivers of life through the Spirit. Love, joy, sanctification in the truth. You know, we need to pray more for sanctification. Sanctification sets us apart for the Lord to dwell in us, because the Lord can't come and dwell in a dirty house. You say your house is dirty. You got popcorn all on your floor, grease on your stove. You got to clean your house up, right? I touch your doorknob, your hands, I shake your hands, but you know, I get grease and dirt from your hands because you're dirty. You're walking around here, your feet. You know why the Lord, you know, when he said to the prodigal son, he said, put some sandals on his feet. Put some sandals on his feet. You know why? Because the earth is a filthy place, a dirty place. He said, I want to separate his feet from the earth. Oh, Lord, there's so much to deal with here. And in Galatians, of course, chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, we deal with the many aspects of the Spirit. I'm going to be closing up here in a minute, because this lesson is a series. I'm hoping that the brother can open the door for me to finish this next Sunday evening, if the congregation would allow me to. 5:22 and 23, we all know that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Right? And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We see the many aspects of the flow of life coming through there. And in verse 39 in chapter 7 of John, in verse 39, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we see that the Spirit of God was there from the beginning. We see that the Spirit of God was there from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1 and 1. In Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. So we see that the Spirit of God, when we speak about the Spirit in St. John chapter 7 verse 39, this is the Spirit that was there in the beginning. We must understand that. That is the Spirit that was there in the beginning. So now in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When we look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, compared to verse 39 in St. John chapter 7, he was not yet given. So the Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because the Lord had not yet been glorified. So those who were to believe in him would be baptized into him when he was to be glorified. When was Jesus glorified? Jesus was glorified when he was resurrected, according to Luke chapter 24 and verse 26. Glory is something that is seen, something that is witnessed. It's like when people look at you from 20 years ago and they look at you today, they should see the same body, but what's coming out is different. You should be representing the Lord. After Jesus' resurrection, the Spirit of God became the Spirit of the incarnated, crucified, and resurrected Jesus Christ, who was breathed into the disciples by Christ in the evening of the day on which he was resurrected. In St. John chapter 20 and verse 22. Okay. The Spirit is now the another comforter. Remember, I will send you another comforter. That's what he told the disciples. Okay. The Spirit of reality promised by Christ before his death in St. John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17. Now, when the Spirit was the Spirit of God, he had only the divine element. See, when he was only the Spirit of God, he only had the divine element. What do you mean? After he came, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, through Christ's incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection, the Spirit had both the divine element and the human element, with all the essence and reality of the incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection of Christ. The Spirit is now the all-inclusive Spirit of Jesus Christ as a living water for us now to receive in St. John chapter 38 and 39. When we spend time with the Lord, we get a chance to understand what is being said here today. Okay, what is being said here today? 5 more minutes, and I'm gonna be done with 3 points of this series I have here. In Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Let's start at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we do what? Impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. See, the carnal man, the worldly man, cannot understand the spiritual things of God. Why? Because they are foolishness to him. Spiritual words to spiritual people. We are spiritual people. The Greek word means mixing or putting together, as interpreting or expounding. It is common in the Septuagint. When we look at Genesis chapter 40 and verse 8, in chapter 41 and verse 12 and 15, we'll get a chance to understand what we are talking about. Okay, so you can read that. So, with, when we talk about with, we're talking about the thought. Here is to speak spiritual things with spiritual words. The stress is not on the person to whom the speaking is done, but on the means by which the spiritual things are spoken. Say, wow, what are you saying, brother? The apostles spoke the spiritual things, which are the deep things of God concerning Christ, with spiritual words, which are the spiritual words taught by the Spirit. We are dealing with a spiritual book. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. St. John 17 and 17. In St. John 17 and 20, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified through the truth. So that's how God deals with us in the many channels of his truth. And that is the 3 points that I wanted to make with you. And I have 3 more points, but my time has come to an end. If you stand in need of prayer, we can assist you in that other, in that situation with prayer. It looks like everyone's been baptized in here. We really have no visitors. All but say 2. And maybe one day they will come forward when they recognize their sins and become one with Christ. Thank you.